Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on a Football Friday, and we are pleased to welcome into the show right now from CBS Sports and SiriusXM NFL Radio. He will be doing the analysis of the TV coverage of Sunday's game between the Browns and the Ravens, Rich Gannon. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Vic, it's always good to be with you. I'm excited for the game this weekend.
Yeah, tell me that, because I know it's a divisional game, and it's a big prove-it for really both teams who got off their seasons off to the starts they didn't want. But give me your take from a Browns perspective, and especially as you always do from a quarterback perspective, because Brandon Whedon had a rough first game.
Well, let's start with the Browns and what they've got to do, not just in this game, Vic, but I think to be able to turn the corner in terms of their franchise. I mean, they have to be able to win a division, and they've not been able to do that. And since the AFC North was formed in 2002, the Browns are a disappointing 16-50 in the division, and just 5-24 since 2008. And they've got to be able to, start competing against the bullies, and that's the Ravens and the Steelers. And they've not had a lot of success. I think you start with the offense and the quarterback, and obviously, I thought Whedon struggled as a rookie, throwing obviously more interceptions than touchdowns. There's no question he's got the strong arm, but his decision making leaves a lot to be desired. As I studied the film, the one glaring thing that jumps out to me is that, nobody is overly concerned with their weapons in the passing game. I mean, look at Greg Little, he's been very inconsistent. You look at him, drops and just the up and down play with this guy. Devon Best, I think, is a fine slot player. Travis Benjamin is an undersized receiver that is going to struggle with bigger and more physical corners. The guy obviously they really miss is Josh Gordon. But right now it seems to me that where the quarterback is most comfortable is throwing the ball in the direction of Jordan Cameron, and I can see why. He's a very good looking player. But right now they have to be able to beat man-to-man coverage. They're going to see a ton of it moving forward. Nobody's overly concerned with anyone running by them. And if they can't beat the man-to-man coverage, they're going to really struggle.
Rich, Nathan Zagura here. Good to talk to you as you get ready for the Ravens and the Cleveland Browns this weekend. The Ravens secondary, a lot of new faces back there with some of the turnover they've had, obviously dissected by Peyton Manning. So you can't read too much into it, but do you think that some of the newness in that secondary, the turnover and leadership back there, kind of gives the Browns a little bit of hope to be able to throw the football against this team?
I would think so. I mean, they had a ton of talent in the offseason. I mean, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Kruger and Ellerby, and particularly in that secondary, as you mentioned, Reed, Williams, and Pollard all starters from a season ago. So obviously the continuity's not there, the communication. I really felt going back and watching the film against the Denver last Thursday night that Corey Graham really struggled in the slot. He got exposed. None of the corners played well. Jimmy Smith struggled. Lavarius Webb had his issues. So if you're North Turner, you got to be looking at that saying, we've got to take some shots against this secondary.
Former NFL quarterback and CBS sports analyst Rich Gannon is with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He'll be on the call of Sunday's game, the TV call. Rich, you've dealt with this as a player. You analyze this, I know, as well. So you look at the Browns' offensive line. You see the problems on the right side, especially at guard and tackle. How do you cope with that? How do you deal with it when you have a guy like O'Neal Cousins struggling as much as he did and Mitchell Schwartz at tackle struggling as much as he did last week?
It was awful last week. I mean, let's start with O'Neal Cousins. I mean, he just looked like a fish out of water. He was exposed by that Miami defensive line. And then you pair the type of day that Mitchell Schwartz had with Cameron Wake. It was not good. And it makes it a lot more difficult as a play caller. Now you've got to be in right formations. You've got to keep the tight end in. You've got to chip with the backs. I would tell you this, it wasn't all the right side of that line. I saw a couple instances, Vic, when I went back and watched the film where you've got, the tight end who was in the backfield, he's going over to help on the left side and turning Cameron Wake loose from the right side. I mean, I think they had some communication breakdowns as well in protection, and that wasn't good to see. They've got to get that correct. Baltimore's looking at it, and they're going to go after the right side of that offensive line.
The path to me, as I see it, Rich, for the Browns to be able to win this game is to stuff the run like they did against Miami, limiting them to 20 yards on 23 carries, having Joe Hayden take away the top target, and really forcing, you know, Joe Flacco to beat you with Dallas Clark, Brandon Stokley, and Marlon Brown now that they don't have Anquan Boldin, Jacoby Jones, or obviously Dennis Pitta there. Is that the way that you see it too?
I thought there were some real positives that came out of the film when you watch Cleveland defensively. I thought that the run defense was outstanding. You could tell that clearly Ryan Tannehill was not going to throw in the direction of Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden dominated that battle with Michael, with Wallace. So, you know, I think the strength of this defense right now is clearly their defense. You know, they got to be able to stop Ray Rice. I still believe that's where it all starts. They've got another nice back in Bernard Pollard, a nice change of pace. But, you know, they've got to find a way to get Flacco off the spot. Get this guy moving and force him to make some mistakes. That's going to be the key to it on Sunday.
And for the flip side of this, Trent Richardson in the running game for the Browns, only 13 carries to the 53 pass attempts that Brandon Whedon had. Obviously, tremendous imbalance in offense. But when you look at Trent, and he had said, hey, we stopped ourselves in the running game by getting away from the game plan, and he was making those comments this week that, you know, he clearly wanted the ball more and wanted to carry more. As you look at it, are there more opportunities that you can see running this guy, or was the struggle to just get any push so much that you had to get away from it?
Well, I think there's a number of factors, Vic. I think first and foremost, the Miami defense was really good last year against the run. I think they're going to be a tough group to run against. And clearly that was their focus, to take Trent Richardson out of the game and put the ball into the hands of Brandon Whedon and make, you know, if they're going to lose, make the Browns beat you through the air. So that was clearly, I think, their focus when you go back and you watch it. I would say this about Richardson. I think he's a tough physical runner. There's no question about that. I know they played with those ribs most of the season a year ago, but you just don't see a lot of big runs. You know, I think only two of his 267 carries last year for more than 20 yards. So that's the one knock on him right now. You don't see the explosive runs from this guy. And, you know, that's an area where I think he has to be better in year two.
And kind of following up on that, when you watch the tape of the game, it's tough to get big runs when you don't have big holes and you're getting hit when you take the ball. You know, on average in game week one, he was hit just 0.8 yards down the field after he took the football. So that line wasn't just a problem in pass protection, but it seemed to struggle in the run game as well.
There's no question. And look, that's not something you can get fixed overnight. And I don't know what the plans are this week in terms of who's going to make the start at guard. But, you know, good football teams are strong down the middle. And you look at the Browns, they've got a Pro Bowler and Alec Mack. They've got Joe Thomas over there. And, I mean, the left side doesn't seem to be the issue right now. It's the right side. You know, I think that creatively you've got to do some things. I mean, you know what your weaknesses are. You know what the Ravens are going to try and do to expose that. You got to find a way to get better, and you hope that you can come back with a plan that addresses some of those issues and concerns in week two.
Last one, Rich, just on that note, because we know what the coaching influence is supposed to be, and there's a lot of hope attached to the fact that Rob Chudzinski, North Turner know their way around a passing game to get those chunk plays. Is there a way to do what you're suggesting in the creativity and still staying true to what they are and what they want to be as a team, as an offense?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, the Browns obviously brought in a couple of bright offensive minds. I mean, Chud's been a good play caller. Norv obviously has had a lot of success. And not just throwing the ball, as you know, but, you know, he's had some really good runners in pretty much everywhere he's been. You go back and you study him in Washington and in San Diego and you know, places that he has been where he's had a lot of success running the football. So, you know, I think the challenge for them is to, you know, work within the confines of what they have and what the issues are. And they've got to find a way to get Trent Richardson going. That's the key to it. He's going to have to run the football, get the tight end that they like, and they've got to get him involved. Got to be able to stretch the field a little bit in the passing game. And the quarterback has to eliminate the mistakes, guys. I mean, you look at those interceptions and say, well, there's some tip balls and there's deflected balls, those type of things. Yeah, he's throwing. He's got a guy on an 8-yard shallow cross, and he's throwing the ball 60 miles an hour. I mean, you got to know who you're throwing to and who can handle what. And location on throws is an area where, as I study Brandon Whedon, he's got to get better, and his footwork's got to get better, and his anticipation has to get better. You know, there's an interception, the first interception of the game. I have CBS cutting it up. We'll show it on Sunday. But you know, he takes the extra hitch, which makes him late. He throws late down the middle into double coverage. He throws to a 5'10" receiver, Travis Benjamin, and he puts too much air on the ball, too much trajectory. I mean, there's four mistakes on one play. It's hard to win when you do that, and that's what Brandon Weeden has to eliminate. He has to smooth out the rough edges and eliminate the inconsistent performances.
Well, you can't get much more thorough than that, and Rich, that's why we have you on, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us, my friend.
Oh, you guys are the best. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rich.
We will see you on Sunday in Baltimore. He is Rich Gannon from CBS Sports. You also can hear him on SiriusXM NFL Radio every day, and he will be on the call, Sunday's television call, Ravens-Browns. And we've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Oh. Driving in the sun, looking out for number one. California, here we come.